Bulimia sucks, but you don't, and here's why. The Bulimia Sucks podcast with Kate Hudson Hall will teach you how to begin breaking through the multitude of thoughts, feelings, triggers, and urges to empower yourself to change your painful behaviors completely. You will hear proven strategies and solutions to help you in your recovery, including real interviews with real people. Kate has just released a new best-selling book called Anxiety Hacks, with proven techniques, tools, and tips to calmness. Check it out now on Amazon. And now, another episode of Bulimia Sucks, the podcast.
Hello and welcome to Bulimia Sucks. I'm your host, Kate Hudson Hall, and thank you so much for listening. Now, this is a platform for people to share relatable and uplifting and inspiring conversations based on all different sorts of eating disorders. And episodes include talking with professionals who work with people with eating disorders, who may have had their own struggles with an eating disorder, and also to people who are now struggling with eating disorders or have overcome them, and talking about their difficult journeys. So as a therapist, I've created a free Bulimia Sucks course to help you to get started on your recovery path. So if you wanted to check that out and dip in there to get some help, if you go to my website, katehudson-hall.com, and the information is in there on the homepage. And the other thing that I'm very excited to talk about is that I have finished my book on anxiety. So it's very exciting. Well, I've finished it, but it's with the editor. So let's see what she comes back with. There'll be big red lines all over the place. Hey, who knows? I'll just have to muddle through. And so I've been trying to decide on a name, and I think I've come up with a name, and it's going to be Anxiety Hacks, Techniques, Tools, and Tips to Calmness. That's what I'm thinking of at the moment. Anyway, now moving on, I'm very excited with our guest today. It's Cara Amelie. Now, Cara is a wife and a mother of two girls and has been a content creator since 2009. Her focus is on fashion, beauty, lifestyle, and they're all on her main channel, Cara Amelie. And she also creates book-related content on her book channel, Cara About Books. So Cara grew up in Oregon and did ballet all through her childhood up until she was 18 when she graduated from high school. Now, Cara's eating disorder began after her freshman year of college when she was 19 years old. And she worked through her recovery when she was in her 20s. And Cara also enjoys painting and illustrating, cooking. And her number one passion is cats. I love that because I love cats too. So Cara, welcome. I'm so excited to have you join us.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Yay. So should we start with you when you were younger and how did your eating disorder begin?
Well, I have kind of an interesting story in that, you know, when I was a kid, I never had to worry about dieting or weight or anything like that. You know, my mom never talked about anything like that. And I was always the really small, skinny friend who, you know, hadn't gone through puberty yet. And, you know, all my friends were like getting boobs and all that kind of thing. And I was always just skinny and scrawny. And I just wanted to, you know, look like a woman.
Develop.
And, yes, I did. And so, you know, I was a flyer in cheerleading, so I was always really small, and I was just so, so, so active that I just never, you know, had to think about it at all. And I went to college, and that's when all, you know, of my athletics just stopped. I stopped ballet. I stopped all kinds of dance. I stopped cheerleading. And I just didn't really realize that that had such a huge effect on, you know, how I looked and stuff. And so, you know, freshman year, obviously you gain what they call the freshman 15. And I was shocked.
What does that mean, the freshman 15?
So in America, we always kind of joke about people who go to college. They always come back the next summer with the freshman 15. So the 15 pounds that you gain in college. And sure enough, yeah, that happened to me. And I remember just being really shocked by it because I never had to deal with anything like that before. And I was like, oh, I don't like this. Like, this isn't like how I usually look or anything. And so I was like, oh, I just want to go on like a little diet over the summer. And apparently I'm a very impatient person and it just wasn't happening fast enough. And I decided that, you know, I just had to restrict more and more and more and more and more until I just kind of got really down a rabbit hole, I guess. And that's kind of how like everything started for me. So
how did you, so did that continue for a long time? And then how did you sort of begin to break free from that?
Well, you know, it was one of those things where I didn't realize it was happening, but I'm very obsessive. I have obsessive compulsive disorder. And I don't know if like my eating disorder kind of like, you know, those are related, but you know, I instantly started to become very obsessive. And that year or that summer, you know, I started lying to my mom, you know, saying I ate already, or I'm eating at a friend's house. And, you know, I just couldn't lose weight fast enough. I almost had like this drive and this need and obsession to, you know, just lose it as fast as I possibly could.
Yeah.
And I was really excited to actually go back to college because I knew that I wouldn't have anybody on my back asking me questions. And so I went back my sophomore year, and that's, I think, when it really, really went just completely out of control. And, you know, I was living with one of my best friends from high school, and she noticed things were kind of not normal, but I kept lying and, you know, just getting around everything, you know, really, really well. And that's when it really, really went out of control. And I was just losing so fast. And I just, at that point, didn't know how to stop or kind of what to do to stop. I didn't even know if I really had a problem all the time. Like, I was just like, I just want to lose weight, but I didn't realize really what was happening. And I think that's really, really common, is you actually just don't even realize like how down the rabbit hole you are going, you know?
Yes. Yes. And then, yeah. And then because it's not overnight when you, mm-hmm. when you lose the weight. So it is gradual. So I think for people that have an eating disorder, they don't kind of see it.
Yeah, definitely. Like,
realize it.
Yeah. And for me, I think I was very obsessed with like numbers and like weight. And I think that a lot of my weight loss was very attached to the euphoria that I would feel when I would see the scale go down. And at that point, it wasn't really necessarily like what my body felt like. It was just, I couldn't see the scale do anything but go down. That's what made me happy and feel successful. And so I didn't really know how to stop it because, you know, I just constantly needed it to go down, 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 down. So my main kind of, I think, drive was weight and that number and just seeing it go down. It was a very like euphoric, successful feeling.
Yeah. How did you begin to break that?
So that kind of happened in treatment. When I went into treatment, because they don't let you weigh yourself in treatment, you know, they take away the scale and they like, cause I was hospitalized. And so they instantly, you know, completely take that from you, which I tried to get better on my own twice before going into the hospital and in treatment. And I didn't know that I should stop weighing myself. And I couldn't recover on my own. It was just absolutely impossible. And, you know, we can go into that whole thing as well, but it was not something I don't think I could have done by myself.
Yeah. Yeah. And then after you came out of treatment, so what happened then? So you've got the sort of the grounding, had you?
Yeah. So I went to the hospital for about 8 days and kind of had to get my, like, I think it was, I was orthostatic is what they called it, my heart rate. And they had to get that, you know, balanced. And then right after I got out of the hospital is when I went into a treatment facility. It was like an intensive outpatient. So I wasn't inpatient, but we would go like every day of the week for like 5 hours, 4 hours or so. And, you know, I worked through it through there and then kind of left, I would say after like 5 months, sort of relapsed, but I was able to kind of pull myself out of the relapse on my own. So that was kind of
after you came out, you relapsed, or did something specific happen?
I think I was so tired of being told what to do in treatment. I think treatment is really good, and it's actually what helped me fully recover. But I think there was like this rebellion, or like this need to like be on my own and not be told what to do all the time, which wasn't a good thing for me. I think I took that like and did something bad with it. And I was like, I'm going to do what I want. And I saw myself start losing again, but then I was able to pull myself out of it with some like techniques that I've kind of found myself and stuff. So that was really good that I was able to do that. But yeah, I think that very controlled environment kind of made it so I was like, ugh, you know, like, no, I want to do it on my own now. So,
yeah. And yeah. So Cara, what were the techniques that you remember that specifically helped you at that time?
So I would say, honestly, it was being really aware of what my personal struggles were. And like, I knew that my struggle was the number on the scale. Like that was like my drive all the time. And I knew that I didn't want to start weighing myself again because that was a huge trigger for me before. And I was like, oh, it wouldn't be smart to weigh myself because that's just going to make me crazy again. Yeah. But I knew that I was losing. So I had to be really honest with myself and say, okay, Cara, like, you're losing weight and you need to make sure that you stop losing weight. So the way that you're going to do that is you're going to bring your scale back, but you're going to pick a number that's healthy, that you know is healthy. I had to be very, very honest with myself. And that weight, you cannot go under that weight. And if you go under that weight, you need to eat more and you need to, you know, go get ice cream with your boyfriend after school or eat some extra snacks, you know, for the next couple of days. But you are not allowed to go under that weight. And that really held me accountable. And I think at first it can seem eating disordered, like you're trying to control, you know, a number too much. But over time, I was able to like see that, oh, it's okay to eat ice cream here and there. It's okay to eat, you know, cheeseburger and fries here and there. Like, you know, you have to maintain a weight, you know, you can't just keep losing it. So bringing the scale back, as much as I thought it might be eating disordered, it actually was the one thing that helped me to maintain a weight and kind of stay in a safe area. So,
yeah. And it's all about taking those very, very small steps, isn't it, forward and getting mm-hmm. used to that. And then, you know, and then moving forward from there, you know, introducing different foods and just very gradually and just getting your mindset into a place where you can cope with that small change and then moving forward.
Yeah. And I think that was like the key thing for me too, is like, knowing that it's not going to happen overnight. You're not going to recover overnight. You're not going to lose those thoughts overnight, but those little tiny challenges, you know, like eating foods that aren't your safe foods or going to a new restaurant, ordering something new, and always just kind of like taking those little tiny baby steps forward, and all those things like really add up over time. But it does take, you know, years to do that. It's just always kind of moving forward.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And Cara, for you, what do you remember was the hardest part of having your eating disorder?
Definitely, I think, oh my gosh, there was so much. Constantly just being so engrossed in that mindset. Like I remember, it's interesting because my sophomore year of college was the year that was the worst. And I look back at that year and I don't remember anything from that year when my eating disorder was the absolute worst. And the only thing I remember from that year was anything related to food. Anytime that I was eating, anytime that I was, you know, something that had to do with my eating disorder, that's the only things that I remember. And I think it's because I was so obsessive and engrossed in that mindset, and it's exhausting. And I just remember how obsessed I was. I wasn't doing my homework. I wasn't doing reading for my classes. I was just letting everything go. And I was just stressed out all the time, you know, thinking about those things. And I think that that's probably one of the worst feelings, is just being so engrossed and obsessed with it. Like nothing else matters, you know?
Yeah.
So.
And if you could turn back the clock, and what would you say to you at that, in that particularly really difficult time? What would you tell that younger you now? as an adult with all that you know now?
You know, I think I would have been hard to get to back then. But I think what I would have told myself kind of at the very, very beginning stages is like, it's not worth it. Like, it's not worth it, because I always tell people, you know, who are questioning, you know, whether or not they want to get better or they want to get help. Like it's, I would have done it 100 times over again, like a million times over again. Like living without an eating disorder is so much better than living with one. And it's just not worth it. It sucks. And if you can avoid it or look for a way to get better or, you know, reach out for help, like do it as soon as you can. Especially for me, I didn't have an eating disorder for a really long time, but it was very, very intense. But my mom, luckily I was living with one of my best friends who knew my mom really well. And she reached out to my mom and was like, you know, something's going on with Kara, you know, you might want to, you know, call her, figure this out. And my mom just jumped right in. She was like, no, yeah. She's like, this is not happening. Like, we need to figure this out now. And she kind of was an intervention for me. And she kind of like made a doctor's appointment kind of like secretively, like, oh, it's not going to be a big deal. Like, we're just going to go and, you know, and she just kind of intervened and she brought me to this clinic and they're like, nope, you need to go to the hospital now. And she's the one that if she wouldn't have like taken those big, big steps right away, I probably could have continued with my eating disorder for years, but she like stopped it in its tracks and was like, we're stopping this now. And so I feel lucky because my eating disorder was more short-lived, but it was stopped really quickly. And I think it was easier for me to, you know, get past it because it wasn't like such a long period of my life where I was dealing with these problems. And so I think the earlier that you can catch it and the earlier that you can start, you know, breaking those habits, the better. So that would be my tip.
Absolutely. It was my mother that eventually managed to make that appointment for me at the doctor's, me there, even though I was reluctant, but it was getting me on that pathway.
Yeah. And for me, like at that point I knew, I was like, I don't want to live like this forever. Like I really don't, you know, and I tried to get better twice on my own and I couldn't. And I was like, this isn't a life that I want to live. Like, do I want to be doing this for the next 10 years? No. And so I think at that point I was kind of accepted it and was kind of like, I gave myself to treatment and the doctors and stuff. And I was like, I just have to do it if I want to get better. I had a little glimmer of logic left in me at that point to say, yeah, I need to do this. So,
yeah. So what were your reasons specifically? Do you remember that for you to recover?
So I think
logic.
There was a bit of logic left. I knew that I had a problem and I couldn't fix it on my own. I think I was young enough to, I was actually surprised, I think, deep down that I had anorexia. Like that word was like so big to me. And I think I was kind of like, how did this happen to me? Like, I don't get how this happened. Like, how do I have anorexia? This is so weird. And I think I was young and I was kind of embarrassed that I was caught in this, like these behaviors. And that it was just, I think I was just very like, how did this happen to me? Like, I need to figure this out. Like, I don't know what to do. I was young and I think I was a little scared in a way. And I knew that I tried getting better on my own and I couldn't. And so the only other option was to like take the help that was offered. So I think just like I said, that little bit of logic left in me at the time is kind of what did it for me.
Yeah. And I think you're right though. It's really scary when you're buried beneath all of those different thoughts and feelings and the whole bundle of eating disorders, behaviors. Mm-hmm. It's really scary.
Yeah. And like, I remember a couple of times, you know, standing in the mirror and like being like, I know that I'm like way too skinny, but I don't know how to like stop it. And it was just, yeah, when I just realized I didn't know how to stop it, it was, you know, and I remember the doctors when they first admitted me and they're like, you need to go into the hospital now. I remember them saying like, you could drop dead at any time, like your heart could stop. And that's why I had to go into the hospital because my heart rate was really off or whatever. And that was like shocking. I was like, what? Like, what do you mean I could die? Like, no, I just wanted to be skinny. Like, that doesn't make any sense. And they're like, no, like you have an eating disorder. And I was like, it's just surprising, I think, because you don't realize that it's happening and that you have an eating disorder.
How severe it is and how it can affect those organs.
Yeah. Like, I didn't think that I could die from it, but they're like, nope, like you're not in a very good place right now. So that was scary.
And do you remember what books, were there any books that were helpful to you?
You know, I always talk about this one book, but I always feel a little nervous telling people about it because it helped me, but you know, everyone has their
different. So it's having a nice variety of options to be.
Yeah. And everyone kind of has their own
for you. Yeah.
Yeah. And everyone has their own triggers and stuff like that. But I remember at the time, like we didn't have YouTube and stuff like that to like see other people's recovery stories and stuff. So we really just had to turn to books back then to kind of, you know, feel like we related to people. And there was one book called Wasted by Maria Hornbacher. It's a pretty famous one, I think.
Yeah.
And I picked that one up and I read it at the time. And I think for me, more than anything, it made me feel like less alone. And like, I wasn't the only one that had experienced this or gone through it. And it was kind of like a little glimmer of hope, like, okay, if she can do it, I can do it. So that personally helped me, but you know, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's really important to be able to hear that other people have been through the same journey that you're going through.
Yeah.
You know, so because when you're in it, you think, oh my gosh, it's just me. And it's only me doing this, going through this. And nobody else will understand. But nowadays with YouTube, and you know, you did a fantastic YouTube recording talking about your eating disorder, didn't you?
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. And then you also have a recording on YouTube that you did about having two daughters and your concerns about, you know, how to approach them and talk to them about their body image and food. And I mm-hmm. think that that's also really important. What made you decide to do that?
So I've always kind of thought like with my daughters, like, what am I going to do? You know, like, how am I going to approach bodies and eating and all that kind of thing? Because I was always taught in treatment, like parents don't cause eating disorders. They can, you know, in ways, but they're not the sole cause. Like, you know, don't put that on your shoulders. And they always told my mom and dad, like, you didn't cause this. Like, don't take that weight and put it on your shoulders. And because of that, I've always thought, okay, like, it's not just on my shoulders and stuff like that. And like I said, my parents and my mom, especially, they never talked about weight. They never talked about their weight, food, especially my mom. It was just never a topic that, you know, I had to think about. You know, my mom never brought that kind of stuff up. And I think, you know, I could approach it in so many different ways, but sometimes I think it's just hereditary. Sometimes like people would have never thought I was going to be the one to develop an anorexia, you know, but I did. And with my girls personally, I just don't talk about my body. I don't talk about my weight, what I like, what I don't like. You know, I have people in my life that do talk about that sometimes in front of my kids, like, oh, I need to just lose weight. And I always just want to be like, not, like, now's not the time. Like, my daughters are sitting right there. Your daughter is sitting right there. Like, it's just not a good time to talk about this kind of thing. And so I'm always hyper aware when people do talk about that kind of stuff in front of my kids, but I do my best as a mom to just be like, let's, you know, everything's a balance. Let's eat healthy, but you know, like, cookies aren't bad, you know, like you can have cookies. Like, I don't make it about weight at all. And I just try to talk about health and balance and all that kind of thing. And I hope it works. I hope it, you know, teaches them a healthy way to live. So.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, it will be, because, you know, if you have a parent that's talking about their weight, or a sibling that's talking about their weight and, you know, how their body looks, and even if the child isn't listening, unconsciously, they're going to be listening and picking up, you know, mm-hmm. the unconscious behaviors from that person, I believe.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, they're bombarded with this stuff in the media, and, you know, they have Instagram now.
They hear about it from us.
Yeah. And I'm like, if they can not hear it from me, you know, they trust their parents more than anybody. So if they're not hearing it from me and I'm not making a big deal about it, hopefully, you know, that'll help at least a little bit.
That's also so positive.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So now you are way the other side of your eating disorder. So what does freedom mean to you?
Oh man. So, you know, it's interesting because, you know, I always remember people saying, like, even when you're fully recovered, like, you're still, you know, always recovering. Like, as somebody with an eating disorder, like, it kind of surprises you when thoughts will pop into your head and you're like, whoa, like, I'm fully recovered. Like, why am I still kind of thinking about this stuff? And I was always like, no, I'm fully recovered. But there's still times where I'm like, I notice little things kind of pop in and out of my head sometimes. But like now, it's interesting because I just realize how many more important things that there are in the world other than, you know, what my body looks like and weight and all of that kind of thing. And it's just so freeing to like be happy and just have so many other amazing things that make you happy. Like when I was in my eating disorder, like that was the only thing. That was the only thing that made me happy. And life on the other side is so nice because you're just not wasting your life on your eating disorder. Cause I do kind of feel like when I was sick, I was wasting years of my life, or, you know, that particular year of my life. And, yeah, there's just so much more on the other side, so much more, you know, and I always try to tell people that, like, there's so many other things that can make you happy, you know?
Absolutely. And happy is a big word. And that's what, you know, we strive to be happy in our lives.
Yeah.
And yeah. And people that are listening that are going through an eating disorder, you can move on and you too can be happy and not have your head filled with your eating disorder. You can free up space gradually to be able to enjoy life.
Yeah. And I always like, you know, even, you know, how many years has it been? 15 years since, you know, I was really sick. There's still things that I do have to make sure that I, you know, I'm not doing. Like, I still don't weigh myself ever. I just refuse to bring that into my life. Not because I'll act on it or anything, but it's just unnecessary thoughts that enter my head. Like, I know what this weight means and this weight means and this weight means. Like, why put those thoughts into my head? You know, why cause that extra anxiety? So even if, you know, a friend has a scale or, you know, whatever, I just don't do it. I don't want to know. And, you know, 15 years later, you do still have to make those choices. But, you know, once you kind of learn what works for you in the long run, I think that's when you're the most successful. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's interesting about the scales because I never weigh myself and people become so obsessed about their weight. Mm-hmm. And it just drives, like you say, it drives all of those negative thoughts and then as we know, our thoughts can run from one thought to another thought, another negative thought. And then before you know it, you're, you know, back where you were when you were trying to step away from those negative thoughts. So, yeah. You know, and of course, it's not just weighing the weight. It's, you know, it's not weighing in the time of your month. Time of the month for you, or it's, you know, it's just they just do no good for you whatsoever. And I believe that really those scales should be given to somebody you don't like.
Yeah, it's just unnecessary. Like,
yeah,
not a fan of it.
So, right. So, Cara, now tell us what are you doing now? Where are you now?
Well, I'm doing like the stay at home mom thing and, you know, just being a busy mom and doing all that. So, not a lot of time to think about, you know, all of that kind of thing anymore. And I'm married to an amazing man and, you know, that's amazing as well. So just busy with so many other things.
Yeah. And then you've got your YouTube channel. So tell me about that.
Yeah. My YouTube channel, I started in 2009 and it was right after I got married and it became a huge part of my life, like really, really fast. I had so much fun doing it and I've been doing it ever since, on and off and, just makeup and fashion and beauty and anything girly, you know, and I absolutely love it. It's been a huge part of my life ever since then. So
yeah. What fun.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been great.
And are you going to continue doing that?
You know, I've slowed down a little bit, especially now that my kids are a bit older. You know, I just find that I don't have so much time. But I do like to just upload videos here and there. Like if I have a good idea, I just go on YouTube, upload a video. Like I love talking about things that I'm passionate about. And so YouTube is the best place to do it, you know? So if I feel motivated or inspired, then I have my YouTube outlet to do it on, you know? So, yeah.
Tell us, remind the listeners again. So what is your YouTube channel?
My YouTube channel is Kara Amelie. And that's my main channel. And then I have my book channel, which is Care About Books, where I talk about like all the books I'm reading. As you can see, I'm a huge reader. And then I have my vlog channel where it's like family vlogs. So me and my husband and my kids, and it's kind of like our daily activities and stuff like that. So, and that's called Our Wonderland Life. So,
oh, what fun.
Yeah.
So do you record every week or something?
Well, we used to do daily vlogs. So I used to vlog every single day of my life for a couple of years, but that was just too much for me. Now we just kind of upload on that channel whenever we feel like it, whenever we're doing something fun or cute or holiday or something. And then my book channel, I've been uploading a lot too lately. It's kind of been my little passion thing. And Kara Amelie is just whenever I'm inspired. So.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. It sounds like so much fun.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Oh, Kara, well, thank you so much for joining the podcast and sharing your story, story of the difficult time that you had.
Yes. And there's just so much to talk about. Like, I feel like I could have gone off on so many different tangents and stuff. So it's just, yeah, I'm really glad I could come here and kind of share my story and recovery and why it's worth it. So,
yes. And why it's worth it in order to be happy, in your life without your eating disorder.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Fantastic having you on the show.
Yeah, thank you so much.
And thank you to everybody for listening. And before we go, make sure you subscribe to the podcast on Apple, iTunes, so you never miss an episode. And let us know what you think of the show. And show some love, your favorite podcast, by leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts. So thank you so much for listening. And I'll chat with you in the next episode.
Bulimia sucks, but you don't. Kate has just released a new best-selling book called Anxiety Hacks, with proven techniques, tools, and tips to calmness. Check it out now on Amazon.